Well, good morning. I definitely enjoyed that reading as much as she did. Throughout the season of Epiphany, we have been making our way through the prologue of the Gospel of John. This beautiful hymn that the Apostle John writes of Christ as God. And as it is with most hymns, or at least good hymns, each of the verses matter, all together inviting us into worship, the worship of God in light of the gospel of Jesus. Well, this morning we get to hear the final verse, the thrilling apex of John's hymn, pointing to the splendor and the mystery of our God. You see, in the opening verses of the prologue, we are introduced to the Word. The Word is God. The Word is Creator. The Word is revealed and not received. But some did welcome and receive the Word, and those who did were given the right to become children of God. Well, this morning we hear the Word became flesh. The Word dwells. The Word is given a name, Jesus Christ. The Word is God and a human being, and this human being has a name, Jesus. And Jesus, this divine human, reveals to us who God is. John begins his story of Jesus with a hymn of worship to Christ as God, a hymn that John then unpacks throughout the rest of his book. What is life? What is light? What is grace? What is truth? Who is God? In a hymn, John offers us a rather profound yet simple answer: Jesus. So let us turn once again to these opening verses and read together of this incredible mystery and this remarkably good news that God came to his own in human flesh, that we might know him, believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, and find life in his name. Let's read these verses together from John 1, verses 1 through 18. You can follow along in your order of worship or turn there in your Bible if you have one with you. This is the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He comes after me, ranks before me,' because he was before me. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." This is God's word given for our good. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you how through your word we are invited to see the Word. And we ask this morning that we would behold his glory, that we would encounter his grace, and that we be transformed into a people full of grace. Lord, we ask that you do this work now. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. So long before I was Reverend Borgren or Pastor Eric, or as Barry likes to refer to me in my personal preference, Holy Father, I cut my teeth doing ministry in high school and college as a Sunday school teacher for kindergartners. Now, for those of you who have worked with me on Kids Week, I can see you all thinking right now, this all makes sense. He is crazy. Well, I am, and I loved it. And I mention that because in this opening hymn by John, I'm reminded of a song that we used to sing with the kids, Deep and Wide. You know the song that I'm talking about? Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. You all want to sing now, don't you? But the fun part, right, it's not just the hand motions, which are so fun, but the dropping of the words. Hmm and wide, there's a fountain flowing hmm and wide. And then hmm and hmm. Hmm and hmm, there's a hmm, right? All the words replaced with hmm. And I don't really know why we do that. But as they say, all they you needed to learn, you learned in kindergarten. And we learn from this fun and simple children's song that when we begin to speak of the depth and the width of God and of God's love for us in Christ, that we are quickly left at a loss for words, grasping to capture the profound mystery of Christ as God. So we sing hmm and hmm, hmm and hmm, 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 hmm. Well, John puts words where we have no words. And he sings, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In Isaiah 64, the prophet pleads with God, "Oh, that you would rend open the heavens, rip them apart, and come down, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations might tremble at your presence." The hope, the longing of Israel, embodied in Isaiah's cry, is that God himself would come, because it is only through God that things can be set aright, all that has gone astray. And the gospel, the good news that John proclaims, is God came. The Word who is God, through whom all things were made, in whom is life and light, this Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Flesh, from this word sarx, it emphasizes the fullness of God's condescension into human weakness. Weakness not meaning that the word is no longer word and becomes something else. Weakness meaning the Almighty is a baby. The Ancient of Days has a birthday. The breath of life is mortal. The Word, not ceasing to be God, became human. And as one translator captures it, moved into the neighborhood. I love that translation. That word neighborhood, translated dwelt in our text, could also read pitched a tent, evoking the image of God's presence with God's people in the tabernacle, this elaborate tent in the middle of Israel's camp as they made their way through the wilderness to the promised land. John is challenging us with this reality that God became human and took up residence next to other humans. And God did not merely become human, he became our neighbor. And John wants us to believe that is good news. The question is how? How is this good news, and who is this good news for? Those are the two questions that I want us to sit around this morning. How and who? The first question I would offer John is challenging us to pause and consider is, how is this good news? How is God with us, Emmanuel, as a human and as our neighbor, good news? And I say challenge because as we look back at the unfolding of God's story in Israel, God's presence was something to fear. God's people longed for it, his presence. They prayed for it, hoped for it, clung to it in God's covenant promise. But oh, were they afraid of it? And this fear goes back to the beginning with which John starts his prologue, but not the very beginning. It was not always this way, the fear of God's presence. In the very beginning, there was shalom. All of creation, human beings included, was called good. Relationships were whole. But in the fall, when Adam and Eve reject God as God, all our relationships fractured and they hid. They hid from each other and they hid from God, covering themselves in shame. The question is, why did they hide? Well, turning to Genesis 3, we read, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." This is back when God was our neighbor. "And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he," Adam, "said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.'" That had to be a frightening moment. Can you even imagine? You see, to be in the presence of God is to be known, to be seen. Adam knew it, so he tries to hide. And that word "tries" is the key word. Even when found, Adam continues to try to hide, first behind God and then his wife. "The woman you gave me," good idea, God. "She gave me the fruit to eat. It's her fault. And I ate." Now, it's terrifying to be caught, right? And speaking of neighbors, I remember this incident long ago when I was probably 7 years old. I don't remember exactly my age. I was really young. But I remember the moment like I recorded it on a video camera. My brother, myself, and some friends were digging in our neighbor's yard while our neighbors were away. Now, I'm not sure why any of us thought this was a good idea. We were not asked by the neighbors to garden. But there we were, digging away, fulfilling our creation mandate to be fruitful with the ground. But this wasn't Eden. This was our neighbor's front yard. And when our neighbors pulled into the driveway, I was the fortunate one to see the look of horror and anger on our neighbor's face in the driver's seat. The others were oblivious, so being the broken human I am, I ran. I ran straight home to my mom. And in those moments of sprinting, I concocted this story to hide behind. I was trying to stop them from digging, and they wouldn't listen. That was my story. I hid because I was afraid. And here's the problem. I knew I was wrong. I wronged my neighbor. I wronged my brother and my friends, my mom, by lying. And by hiding, I never heard the words, "I forgive you." I was wrong and unforgiven. And that is a dark and isolated place to be. So how is God as our neighbor good news?
because we have seen him, John says. We have gazed upon his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We've seen him, and he is full of grace and truth. And God as our neighbor is good news because he is full of both. Without truth, there's no grace. Truth is what really is. And God is truth. That's his name. When Moses asked God, "What's your name?" God says, "I am who I am, Yahweh." And to be in God's presence is to be known as you are. You is who you is. And it is only in that space, known, real, exposed to the light, where you and I can experience grace. No truth, we're still hiding. And grace is only an idea, not a gift, not good news. But the reverse is also true. Without grace, there can be no truth. No space to be real. No space to be known and forgiven. The psalmist in our call to worship this morning said it this way: "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has a clean hands and a pure heart." But who has clean hands and a pure heart? No one. It is the Word, full of grace, who invites us out of darkness into his marvelous light, to stop hiding, to be known, to be forgiven, and to receive the fullness of his righteousness through the grace of the cross and the power of the resurrection. God, as our neighbor, is good news, for we have seen him, and he is full of grace and truth. Makes you want to sing, does it not? Add in some words. There's a fountain full of grace and truth. That's my version. William Gadsby, an actual hymn writer, fills in the words this way. Listen to this. Truth and mercy meet together. Righteousness and peace embrace. Each perfection of Jehovah meets and shines in Jesus' face. Here the Father can be just and saved by grace. God, as our neighbor, is good news, because in Jesus steadfast love and faithfulness meet. The Word in our midst is full of grace and truth. Which brings us to our second question. Who is this good news for? And what I hope we can see is that this good news is for us. There is a fountain flowing deep and wide, not just for you and not just for me, as if we're all waiting in line to drink from a drinking fountain in the park. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide for us. As in, we're all dancing and splashing together in Buckingham Fountain. And this fountain of saving grace, John writes, is inexhaustible. And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace, John says. The fountain flowing deep and wide is infinitely deep and infinitely wide. It keeps giving. And from this fountain, we all have received, John says. The all is important because the all means God's good news of neighbor is not just for me. The all makes John's hymn about God's work in a people. God moved into the neighborhood and became a neighbor. And oh, by the way, there are other neighbors too. And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. And John gives us two examples of this communal, inexhaustible grace.
The first grace we received was the law given through Moses. Now, I don't know if that is how you view the law, but John says the law is a gift. It's a gift, a communal gift, not just for you and for me, but for us, because it gives direction to a community. The law offers a vision for the good neighborhood, a vision for a neighborhood where love for God and love for neighbor are embraced and practiced. No murder, no adultery, no stealing, no lying, no coveting. The law is a gift because the law reveals God's will and God's desire for the neighborhood. But there is another gift for the community, grace and truth, which came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth meet together in Jesus, reconnecting us with God, moving us out of darkness into his marvelous light, known, loved, and forgiven. And grace and truth meet together in Jesus, reconnecting us with one another, inviting us into the ways of God, into the will of God for the neighborhood, full of grace and truth. The law offers a vision for the neighborhood. And the neighborhood, the church, a city, us, is made new by the grace and truth of Christ. This means that if this is a space to be a space that bears witness to the transforming power of the presence of Christ, the Word who moved into the neighborhood, then we must seek to be a people full of the grace and truth of Christ. A place where real people, broken, sinful, stuck, angry, afraid, can be really real and known. Invited out of the darkness into the light of Christ to encounter and receive the grace of Christ. The question is, does our life together, our speech, our hospitality, our generosity, does it point to this sort of grace and truth? Does our sharing of our prayer life around the tables of our small groups or our homes or wherever we find ourselves connected to another neighbor point to this sort of grace and truth? Such a space can be hard to imagine. Known and loved, really? Honest and forgiven? Sounds too good to be true. So we're back to singing, Well, it's not too good to be true. John says, this is the way of God. You see, no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. It's not too good to be true because Jesus is who he is. We saw him. And he is full of grace and truth. And God is who God is, and Jesus is God. Jesus made God known, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. Infinitely deep, infinitely wide, there's a fountain full of grace and truth. And Jesus has made him known. My prayer for us today, each day, is that we would believe that Christ is God, full of grace and truth, that we might have true life, full of grace and truth, known by God and by each other, and loved by God and each other. Really real and forgiven, being made new in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, we come to you as a people
seeking to believe. Seeking to know that you have revealed to yourself in your Son, Jesus, that in him we might have life. Lord God, we ask that by the Spirit that dwells within us, our eyes would be opened more and more to behold your glory. That we might know more fully what it means to be known and to be loved. Lord, I pray that this would be the mark of this community. That people can encounter grace by being known in this space. Lord God, we can't do this work. We need your Spirit in us. We ask that it is present with us now. We pray through Jesus our Lord. Amen.